and ungainly-looking tilt-rotors landed and took off from rooftops. Beyond them, the sky was bright blue, with puffy white clouds sailing by on a strong wind.
"I'm sure you could adjust the bishop's schedule," Stoner was saying softly to a perplexed-looking young man in a dark clerical suit. He was sitting behind a desk that stood before a door, bearing a small gold-plated plaque inscribed with Bishop Z. J. Craig.
"I suppose I could," the young man said hesitantly. "It's very unusual, though. The bishop doesn't normally..."
"This is an unusual situation," said Stoner. "I'm sure the bishop will want to see us."
"Mr. Tavalera."
Tavalera turned and saw Sister Angelique coming through the door from the corridor, tall and slim, wearing a floor-length black dress. "Her face is beautiful," he said to himself. "When she smiles, she can light up the whole room." But her smile seemed forced now, uncertain.
"Sister Angelique," he said, genuinely glad to see her. "This is Keith Stoner."
"Really?" Angelique studied Stoner's face.
"Our star voyager?"
Stoner smiled at her. "You don't believe that, do you?"
"I don't know what to believe, Mr. Stoner, as yet."
She turned to Mayfair.
"Doctor, you may return to your office now. Thank you for bringing Mr. Tavalera and Mr. Stoner here."
Mayfair looked relieved, puzzled, worried, and glad all at the same time. He shot a brief glance at Stoner, shook his head, then beat a retreat toward the door that led to the corridor and back to the normality of his own office, his own world. Turning back to Stoner, Angelique smiled tentatively.
"Actually, it's Dr. Stoner, isn't it? You have a Ph.D. in astronomy."
"Astrophysics," said Stoner.
The young man at the desk spoke up. "Bishop Craig will see you now."
He looked rather surprised. "Good," Stoner said, genuinely pleased. "Thanks for your help, Bobby." The man blinked up at Stoner.
"How did you know?"
"It's a gift," Stoner said. And he took a step toward the door with the golden plaque. It opened without anyone touching it. Tavalera followed Stoner and Sister Angelique into Bishop Craig's office. It wasn't a particularly large office, although it held a gleaming broad desk in one corner, backed by floor-to-ceiling windows, and a set of comfortable-looking armchairs ringed around a low coffee table in the opposite corner. The bishop was smiling broadly, a tiny, dapper, dark-skinned man with a gleaming bald head. He came around his desk and extended both his hands toward Stoner.
"I can't tell you how glad I am to meet you," said Bishop Craig with a toothy smile.
Stoner smiled back at him. "It's good of you to receive us on such short notice."
"They're both spouting bullcrap," Tavalera thought.
Craig motioned to the upholstered chairs grouped around the circular coffee table. The bishop asked if they wanted refreshments, and Stoner said no. They sat, with Stoner and the bishop facing one another. Angelique sat opposite Tavalera.
"Now then," said Bishop Craig, "you must tell me, are you really from the stars?"
Stoner leaned back in his chair and crossed his long legs. "I've been to the stars, but I'm from Earth. I'm as human as you or anyone else on this planet." He hesitated a heartbeat. "Then, or I was human. Now I'm something more."
"An angel?"
Stoner chuckled lightly. "No, hardly that." Sister Angelique said,
"A demon, then?"
With a shake of his head, Stoner replied, "Not that either."
"What then?"
Tavalera asked. Stoner looked from Tavalera to Angelique and then back to Bishop Craig. "I've been exposed to the technology of an alien race. No, don't be alarmed. They've been dead for millions of years, extinct. But their technology has survived." Craig's eyes went crafty.
"You can prove what you're saying, I suppose."
"If I have to."
"Why have you returned to Earth?" Angelique asked.
Stoner's face went bleak. "Well, this is my home world. Our home world, I should say."
"Ours? There are more of you?"
Craig asked. With a nod, Stoner said, "My wife and two children."
"Where are they?"
"With me." Tavalera felt his brows knit slightly.
"You mean they're aboard your spacecraft?"
Stoner appeared to think over his response for a few heartbeats. Then he merely nodded. Bishop Craig drummed his fingers on his thighs for a moment, then asked,
Why have you returned here? What do you want?
With a smile, Stoner replied, I want to save the human race from extinction.
Is that all?
The bishop laughed uneasily. Stoner's bearded face grew somber. There's a lot that I don't yet understand, but it's clear that the Western Alliance and the Nations of Islam are heading for a confrontation, and both sides are arming themselves with nuclear weapons.
Craig said, We scrapped the last nuclear weapons some 50 years ago.
But you're building new ones. So are the Muslims, and the Chinese, I might add.
That can't be.
Yet it is. The Western Alliance is secretly building nuclear weapons at 3 different sites.
I can't believe that, said the bishop.
Your new morality movement has control of the American government, control of the news media, and a pretty tight control on the general population. People know only as much as you want them to know. You tell them what to believe and how to behave.
For their own good, said Sister Angelique.
Yes, certainly, for their own good. But do you really know what's best for the people?
Better than they know themselves, the bishop snapped.
And what about their freedoms, their individual rights? You can take a man like Raoul here and move him wherever you want to. His hopes and plans don't matter. He's forced to do what you want. Bishop Craig leaned back in his armchair and steepled his thin fingers before his face.
Dr. Stoner, you say there are things you don't understand. I can see that that is certainly true.
Then enlighten me, Stoner said, with the ghost of a smile.
Gladly. You don't know what this nation was like before the new morality saved it. Godless, sunk in sin and depravity, thieves and money-grubbers in charge of the economy, politicians whose only thought was to get themselves elected and then re-elected with no thought for the needs of the people, violence in the streets, shootings in the schools, blatant sexuality advertised everywhere, children giving birth to children, schools giving students condoms. They were all heading for collapse, bound for hell and everlasting damnation.
Stoner said nothing. He simply folded his arms over his chest and watched Craig intently.
Then God sent his warning. The climate began to change, alter drastically. Greenhouse warming struck like a bolt from an avenging angel. Ice caps melted away. Sea levels rose so fast that coastal cities were flooded. The American heartland, the granary of the world, became parched and dust-blown with drought. Millions were driven from their homes. Wars erupted. India and Pakistan depopulated each other with biological weapons. Nuclear war broke out in the Middle East. China seized vast territories in Siberia. Latin America and Africa dissolved in genocides.
In America, the people cried out. They needed food, housing. They needed order.
The government was paralyzed. All they could do in Washington was point fingers and cast blame.
So the new morality stepped in, Stoner said mildly.
The new morality did indeed step in. We did not seek power. We did not seek responsibility, but we did what we could to help. It actually started right here in Atlanta. We made the streets safe. We distributed food to the needy. We brought people back to Christ. And from there our movement spread.
Sister Angelique added, We seek to do good, Dr. Stoner. We are not the enemy.
Indeed we are not, Bishop Craig resumed. We brought order and stability to the nation, and beyond. Similar movements arose in Europe, Asia, Latin America. The Muslims were actually ahead of us, establishing their religious schools, their madrasas, taking over national governments, forging a unity across the whole Islamic world.
At what cost? Stoner asked. How much blood was spilled?
The Muslims were steeped in violence, I admit. Still are. In America, though, there was hardly any bloodshed. The new morality has always been a peaceful movement. We do not advocate violence.
But you don't tolerate dissent.
Of course not. We're doing God's work. Those who dissent are against God, against our Lord and Savior, against goodness and truth.
So you get rid of them?
We re-educate them. Some of them, yes.
frankly, we have exiled some of